Today on Real Radio.
We need to be absolutely wrapped up in our feet, shod, covered, bound up with these sandals. What are these sandals? Well, it says here that we are to have the sandals that are laced or embedded or comprising that which is called the preparation of the gospel of peace.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We're in its final chapter, chapter 6, and in a series within a series called Complete Christian Armor. Our focus is verses 10 through 20. This is where the author uses metaphors of military garments and equipment in describing how we are to fight this spiritual warfare in which every believer is engaged. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Footed for Peace.
This is how he works. Satan doesn't come to our door in the morning and he says, listen, I'm going to offer you today the greatest opportunity to backslide and blow everything you know concerning Christ. I'm going to give you the opportunity to goof up so bad in your faith that nobody will ever listen to you again in your testimony. He doesn't do that. He says, you know, today's going to be a great day. You don't have to read your Bible. God's gracious. He's gentle. He doesn't care about that. Go for it. And you know, and it's okay. It's okay if you just go over there. You know, you've been talking to that friend of yours at work about the Lord for a while, and he's not listening. So why don't you just show? In fact, he's probably feeling kind of down about your relationship with him. So why don't after work you just have a beer with him and show him that you're just his buddy, and you go, well. I guess that's okay. While all the while, Satan might be on the trail. I'm not saying Satan knows the thoughts of the believer or maybe anybody else for that matter. He's just been around a long time. He might be knowing that your friend is just as far away from coming to Christ. And he gets you in that day where you just think, well, it's really nothing. Yeah, I'll show him that I can be one of the guys, be a cool guy. Well, Pastor, am I going to go to hell if I drink a beer? No, you're not going to go to hell if you drink a beer, but your friend might go to hell if you drink a beer. Well, you're trying to lead him to Christ. And he might be seeing, you know, he might be thinking in his mind, I'm just this far. Maybe I need to make the, you know, I'm going to be seeing John today. And what does the non-believer know? He doesn't know anything. He's going to invite you to happy hour. What do you think a non-believer is going to invite you to go do? Come on, you know, I know I'm a non-believer, but will you come to the Billy Graham Crusade with me? I don't think so. I think they're going to say, you know, and in that moment, you know, it doesn't seem like anything. The witness is damaged. Then you say, well, that's really silly. You want to, you know what? You ought to hang around a church during the day and see what kind of crazy things you hear. That could absolutely jeopardize the witness. We need to be absolutely wrapped up in our feet, shod, covered, bound up with these sandals. What are these sandals? Well, it says here that we are to have the sandals that are laced or embedded or comprising that which is called the preparation of the gospel of peace. And people, this is the meaning. And then I want to go to a stretch. regarding this passage. The meaning is this: your feet is prepared, you're in the position to stand and to go forward. And what you stand and go forward on is the fact that you have peace now with God and you have the peace of God. Peace with God is when you come and you say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Right then and there, you have peace with God. The war is over. You're no longer fighting against God. You have peace with God. No more any war. And listen, if you're not a Christian tonight, God loves you so much that he will make sure that you have that battle with him. It's that battle he uses to get you to get so tired, to throw your arms up and say, I quit. I come to you, God. I love that passage in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 that says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. He says, though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them as white as wool. Though they be just as red as crimson, I'll make them just like snow. But I love that word, come, let us reason. Come, let us argue. The word means to argue. Sinner, state your best shot. Give us your best case. And God goes, let's hear it. And the sinner blabs it off and states their case. And God says, are you done? He says, now, answer me. And God begins to state his defense. And the awesome thing about it is the word argue there, to war, to argue, to reason, to logic, to come to a conclusion. God wins it. He wins. Come, let us reason together. Okay, yeah, God, you better get ready because here I come. I'm going to reason with you. God says, yeah. He just waits until they're tired. When I was a little boy, I was still bigger than my mom. My mom was born and raised in Hawaii. She's pure Portuguese. And she's the littlest thing. Right now, she's doing just fine. She's in heaven, so maybe she's not that little. So, but when she'd get mad at us, she had a temper. And it was incredible. And I grew up in a wild house. And you could hear things rattling when she's mad. You can hear drawers open and slam, and she's coming after us with a knife. And it was hilarious. My brother and I would laugh. We were laughing so hard and run out of the house. And it was all done in fun, I'm sure, somewhere along the line. But I remember holding my arm straight out with my mom's forehead at the palm of my hand, and she's swinging at me. And just laughing so hard. Mom, calm down. Mom, it wasn't that big of a deal. We'll fix the window. You know, it's not that big of a thing. And then she'd start laughing, and we just start laughing. And the scripture, come, let's reason. God just holds out his hand on your forehead, and you're swinging. And God's got to just say, you know, give it up. No, this is why I believe evolution's true, God, because I saw this thing, and I'm convinced that, you know, birds were once fish, and God's just going, give it up. You know, it's just hilarious. We just get tired out. Come, let's reason. Having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Friend, you can have all the armament you want, but if you can't convey peace in the midst of this war to a broken and desperate world, they're not going to listen to us. The world is starving for peace. The nations cry out for peace. People are trying to take drugs to go to sleep at night for peace. Families are searching for peace. It's the most rare thing in the earth these days, it seems. Peace. We had a wonderful time last night in the prison. I tell you, you guys, men, I don't think women are allowed in there, but the men, if you have never been to a service at the prison, you got to go. To be there and to walk from the processing area through the yard, then to the chapel. You go from the processing through the yard and you see men of all walks of life. And it's rather intimidating. But then you get into the chapel. And I got to tell you, those guys are beaming with Jesus Christ. Peace? They've got peace in the midst of a war zone. Peace. Man, that service started last night at 7 o'clock. And we got done at 9 o'clock. And those guys didn't want to stop. When you coming back? When you coming back? All they want, man, they found the Lord. The joy, they're singing. I'm telling you, John Blevins and Mark Blair, or James Blair, they're up there singing, and you should hear those guys. They're just, and they're going, hallelujah. They're loving the Lord. They've got peace in the midst of a storm. And this one brother, he's such a neat guy, Mario. He's kind of like a, I don't know, some sort of a chaplain kind of guy. He's in prison. He just shines for Jesus. He's got so much peace. More peace than most people I see outside. And he says, I can't wait, man, 2 more years. I've got 2 more years of school here at Chino State Seminary. That's what he calls it, Chino State Seminary. He took me into his area. He's got Bible commentaries, he's got books, he's got cassette tapes, they got K-Wave, they listen to K-Wave on the radio. We got in there last night, and the guys go, hey, we heard you on the radio today. And I went, oh no, I thought, that, you know, uh-oh. It was sweet. They just love the Lord. Peace. Incredible. It's available to us. Do we have it? If we don't have it, and you're a Christian, get it. Ask the Lord to bind up your feet, and he's going to come back and he's going to say, okay, as I put your shoes on, listen here, Sonny, or listen here, sweetie, you immerse yourself in my Bible. Read it, eat it, consume it, and you'll have peace that passes all understanding. The next thing we want to look at, and I say it's a stretch in that the context doesn't allow for this view, although if you read commentaries on this passage of Scripture, on this verse, you will come to this teaching. It's not wrong. But when it says, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, you might want to look at this also in the way of a personal application. Because having your feet covered with this peace, your feet used to go forward, the gospel of peace, there has always been this connection about, as the scripture says in Isaiah chapter 52, you might want to turn there if you'd like. Turn to Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7, and you'll see this passage of scripture. You'll remember it here in a moment. It says there, Isaiah 52, 7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Paul brings that up again in Romans 10. In Romans chapter 10, Paul says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 13. How then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? And how shall they not believe in him whom they've not heard of? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. You see, in Romans chapter 10, Paul goes right to Isaiah 52, 7, puts it together. But from those few passages, a lot of people will take verse 15 and use these scriptures. In fact, in your margins, they might even be mentioned. But the context is for Christian warfare, girded about with peace around our feet, moving forward as a preparation for war, having that peace in the midst of the explosive battle of Christian warfare. But it's not that big of a stretch, if you ask me, to also state that Christians are to be equipped for the battle and going out to war in the area of evangelism, to share Christ. Now, don't fall asleep with this one. You might right now think, that's Billy Graham's job. That's Greg Laurie's job. That's Luis Palau's job. That's some other evangelist's job. The Bible tells us Paul told Timothy to do the work of an evangelist. That's a command to all of us, to do the work of an evangelist. Notice how it's worded there in Timothy. He says in 2 Timothy 4, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." Let me ask you, are you think we're in those days? "But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap to themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure affliction, and do the work of an evangelist." We are all called to be able to defend the faith. In 1 Peter 3:15, Peter tells us there that we should be ready to give an answer to everyone who ask of us a reason for the hope that we have within us. When somebody says, "Are you a Christian?" you say, "Yes." That is the Holy Spirit. Let's just stop that little freeze frame. The guy says, "Are you a Christian?" You say, "Yes." And we press pause. That's the Holy Spirit saying, "Hello, Jack. This is an invitation. Share Christ with them." This is your golden moment to give an answer, a reason for the hope that is within you. And God presses play again, and you say, "Yes, I am a Christian. Would you like to know why? Or would you like to know how that came about? Let me tell you." And you tell them, can I defend why we are Christians? Now, I wasn't home today, but I understand that two Mormons came to our door. And after hearing how it went, there was quite an exchange of scriptures and thoughts and passages and all. And I'm quite glad that I wasn't the Mormon standing at the door. Because the poor guys, they were just dumbfounded. Lisa gave them the gospel and then challenged them and said, "Tell me why you're a Mormon." And it was really sad. And now, I'm not saying this to make fun. I love them. I hope and pray that tonight those guys are laying down on their beds and their pillows and saying, "Lord, if we're wrong, speak to us." Can you imagine someone in a cult laying down at night on their pillow and saying, "Lord, if I'm wrong, let me know"? What do you think God's going to do with that prayer? Na, 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 na. No, he's going to say, God's going to go, "Attention, please. There's only one way to be saved, and that's by faith in my Son, Jesus Christ, not by any works of righteousness, lest any man should boast." Let me set free. Evangelism. The world will experience peace if we get out there and tell them about the Prince of Peace. We have the sandals to do it with, implying that we need to get going on it. Mark chapter 6, verse 7. I love this. Mark 6, verse 7, by the way, this is a great, and here at Calvary, this is our bylaws for our missions ministry. I'm going to read it to you. They're real technical. Mark 6, beginning at verse 7. The bylaws for our missions ministry, Metro Mission. "And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. And he commanded them to take nothing for their journey except the staff." That's not a bunch of people and a typewriter. "No bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts. but to wear sandals. That word in there, by the way, is shod. But to wear sandals, and not to put on two tunics. Also he said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you, when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So they went out and preached that people should repent. Great. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. I love this. Mark 6, verses 7 through 13, to me, just absolutely wraps its arms around Ephesians 6, verse 15. And it says, you put this gospel of peace on your feet and you go forward in the battle. And you doing that, you're going to come right up against Satan's stronghold. And you are going to be, we will be the ones that go and pluck from Satan's crown the souls that he has stolen. Going right into his camp. Does that excite you at all? That excites me. Well, you shouldn't take on the devil. I'm not saying I'm taking on the devil. Well, you shouldn't. The devil's strong. I know he's strong. He can just knock us out in a moment. But greater is he that is in me, in you, in us, than he that is in the world. I think the Lord has equipped the Christian to go up against the spiritual strongholds of the enemy in the Spirit of God, in the power of God, and to steal those that have been blinded by the prince of darkness and bring them home where they belong and place them in the crown of Christ. And I think God uses us humans just to upset the spiritual realms of darkness. I believe that. I think we need to be a people, and I think that there are a lot of people in this church already committed to evangelism. And that's great. And so we are to have our feet covered with this peace. Next week, as we look into this armor, we'll come to take in the shield of faith and look at what verse 16 has to say for us for next week. Above all, taking the shield of faith, Paul says, with which you will be able, you are enabled to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Man, this is something. All of them.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Footed for Peace, taken from Ephesians 6 and verse 15. It's part of a mini-series taken from Ephesians 6 called Complete Christian Armor, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, this series is now available in an 8-CD set. Remember, our task here at Real Radio is to equip you with all that is necessary for your growth as a true believer. So, here's our offer. For your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount, we'll be glad to send you this 8-CD package. Ask for it by name, Complete Christian Armor. To get in touch, call, click, or write. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or you can send your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine a amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.